is an
Ian
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt. And tonight's ENN is brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Peter is here, but I am doing ENN.
Strange. Love this.
Don, what's up? How are you?
It moved. And it killed.
And Peter, how are you?
Jeez Louise, Papa Cheese.
I'm miserable.
Poor Michael. He looks good, though. It was nice to see him today. That was a real, genuine surprise. That was nice.
Really, I was sitting. Take us through it, Don. Go back in time. I was sitting at the chair that's closest to the door. So I couldn't see who was coming in. People come in and out, but I only hear the door open because it's to my back. And then I turn to see who came in the door, and it's Michael. It's crazy. We haven't seen him in this studio in how long?
You were like, who
before
is
before the beach bash?
Seen him since, I guess, since the beach bash was the last time I saw him.
I'm miserable.
But even before that, he wasn't working. I mean, like 5 weeks, probably more than 5 weeks since he's physically been in the studio. He looks great.
Yeah. I love it.
Very happy to have him back.
Well, here we go. We start ENN with this. Training camp is opening up around the league today. I think it's 16 teams that reported today, including...
Tell us each one.
Well, I can tell you that both New York teams, and we'll stop there. Adam Gase spoke today on a lot of different topics. We heard some of his stuff earlier. Here's a little bit more. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Sam Darnold this year. Here's Gase on what makes Darnold good to work with.
He works hard. I mean, he puts his head down, he grinds, he does extra. He asks the right questions, you know, when he's on the field, you know, there is no change in speed. It's whatever he's got, he's giving it. And when you're around a guy like that, it's exciting to work with him every day, show up, see what he's got for you the next day. What's he going to bring?
I'm Mr. Joe Football.
That's Gase on Darnold. And obviously, if you play in the AFC East, the Patriots are always going to be your obsession. But it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case for Gase. Here he is on that.
You know they're there. I mean, that's what is being talked about probably most of the time leading into the season, in the offseason. And really for us, we're going to be focusing on us. I mean, when we play them, then we'll worry about them. But we need to worry about handling our business, which is right now is, you know, the beginning of training camp. And we need to do a good job of making sure we're in great condition, stay healthy. We keep learning all three phases, and then when it comes time to play games, we put good games together and find ways to win.
You don't know the shape of a football.
He said all the right things today. He really did.
Yeah, Ty and I were talking in there before, and we were saying that Gase is growing on us already.
Wow.
I don't know if it was his beard. I thought he looked great with his new beard today.
I didn't see the beard yet.
Yeah.
Did he have the hat tucked over the eyes?
He did have his hat. He had his hat pretty low, although even with that.
I'm your crazy ass killer.
I was kind of looking at his eyes to see if you could still tell, and his eyes seemed, they seemed normal.
My only negative comment, really, throughout all of this, was I still put a lot of responsibility on him having Maccagnan out of here. That being said, I can only base my knowledge of him as a coach on what he did in Miami. I'm going to be very open-minded to what kind of season that they can have. I think the team can actually be pretty good because they have talent. So I'm not just going to throw it away and say this is going to be a failure. I didn't like the way that it went down with Maccagnan. I still believe he was responsible for it, whether he wants to take credit for it or not. But that doesn't mean it can't work. History tells you it won't, but eventually they're going to get it right. Maybe this is the time they get it right.
History being what? Just the Jets?
Just the idea that you're giving all the power to a guy with no experience. I mean, Douglas is here, I think, because of him and their relationship that goes back to the days in Chicago. So this is Adam Gase's team. And I don't care what anybody tells me. They gave all of this responsibility of rebuilding this franchise in Adam Gase's image. Basically, that's what they did. And that doesn't mean it can't work, but there isn't a lot of information that tells you that it's going to work. He only was a head coach for 3 years in Miami, only one playoff appearance, all right? You could say that he failed with Tannehill because of his injuries, so we still don't know what kind of quarterback guru he's going to be. So would you hand over the reins to this inexperience? Probably not, but doesn't mean it can't work.
Yeah. I guess the only real bummer to come out of today was that Marcus May, who dealt with a lot of injuries last season, they thought he was getting better, but he's not quite there yet. He's going to start the season on the PUP list, which I think was a disappointment.
That is the list for players who love dogs.
Very good. Very good.
People say they don't know sports. They need more out of him. He's been hurt a little bit too much because the combination of him and Adams makes for a really good safety.
It could be their safety combo
there
for the next 8 years if everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No, he really hasn't. Moving over to the Giants side of things, again, everybody's going to be focused on the quarterback situation. Here's Pat Shurmur with his first impressions of Daniel Jones.
He's very smart. He's one of the first guys in, one of the last guys to leave. He gets it from that standpoint. So throws the ball well, moves around well. He executes at a high level out there on the practice field. We really haven't seen anything that he can't do in terms of playing quarterback. And so now it's just a matter of going out and doing it.
It's not going to happen with Shurmur, guys. Okay. Well, listen.
So
I just
pay for your opinion.
It's not going to happen. I hate to be a bad guy and say what everyone's thinking. There's just something when I hear him, it was just like I felt with McAdoo. It's just not going to happen. I don't feel it. I hope he proves me wrong. I'm a hack. I know nothing. I'm rooting against it. I don't want the Giants to be good. So you don't need to listen to me, but I'm telling you, when I hear him talk, I go, nope, not the guy.
I don't know.
Gase, I actually heard today. I went, you know, he's still saying stupid yo-yo college, head football coach stuff, but I don't hear what Sherbert done.
I think you need more than what you're offering.
I just got a full 10 seconds.
Just because he's talking. I mean, Bill Belichick still has not put three sentences together in the decade and a half he's been in New England, and it's been fine. So I don't know if you base whether he's going to work or not on what he has to say in a press conference.
What's his record so far with the Giants?
Well, it's 5-11.
Okay.
Well, is it wrong? I love
no,
the
this
opinion,
is insanity.
But I mean, I need a little more.
Yeah. But all last year wasn't great. I'm not wrong about that. It wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great.
No,
I don't mean play. I mean in terms of him talking and the way he handled it. I just don't hear the authority. I thought he's a very nice guy.
Well, here's the thing.
I just don't hear it.
You can't have authority with a losing record. Bill Belichick couldn't get away with his antics if he traditionally lost every single year. You got to judge a guy on his wins and losses. And then when he starts to win, all of a sudden the things he's saying are making sense, and I love the way he acts. You can't base it on a losing record.
You heard
no
it?
Losing. How many times they're losing coach and you say, boy, he gives great press conference, though. I got to tell you, the team's 6-10 every single year, but he talks with conviction. Okay. I love when he speaks.
Hold on. Let's not pretend, though, that will keep someone around a little bit longer than they should.
It might have extended Rex by 2 years.
Exactly. But did it work? I mean, it might have kept Rex employed.
July 24th.
Did it not look like a clown show?
July 24th, 2019. Just remember these words.
He gone.
Well, yeah, he will eventually be fired. I don't think he's going to be so good.
I will.
20 years from now, he gets to dictate when he leaves. I think he will be fired.
I hope I'm wrong.
No, you don't.
I do.
You can't end
I do.
It
I don't.
Alive.
I do not wish bad. I never wish for people to lose their job. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, and I'll be like, oh, my God, can you believe how wrong I was? He was the next Belichick. But when I hear him talk, right. I don't feel conviction. That's all right.
That's fair. He's not.
I'm being a dramatic talk show host, but let me be clear. I just don't hear it.
But meanwhile, like, 1 year, maybe it's not going to be this year because it's not on the schedule, I don't think, anyway, that the Redskins and the Giants will be playing in Week 17.
Can't wait.
Okay? And this guy who says, I never root for anybody to lose their job, if it's known going into that game that if the Giants lose, he's going to get fired, and they're playing the Redskins, you're going to be rooting for him.
What a horribly unfair.
But don't ever say, I never root for anybody to lose
their
job.
Now you want to talk about Captain Literal Man. Where is it?
Hold on, I'm going. I'm getting it right now. I cannot believe.
He said I would never root for somebody to lose their job, and I was painting a scenario in which he would. Wait a minute. How is that Captain Literal?
Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It is literal.
Captain
you
literal
said
man.
You'll never root for somebody to lose their job, which I also think, forget about the Week 17 scenario. You're a Redskin fan. You hate the Giants, and you should.
But I don't want someone to lose their job.
Yeah, so they could go 3-13 every year, and they'll keep bringing them back.
This was
Stop it. You don't care. You just had the bold statement based off a press conference that the guy's going to get fired. And when and ever in the world do you not root for yourself to be right?
I became Michael Kay all of a sudden?
No, but you're sitting there making this bold prediction.
I'm miserable.
You're hanging on like not even a limb, it's a twig, basing it on one press conference and a 5-11 record the year before.
That's not nothing.
Saying that he's going to get fired.
You're not rooting
for that hot take to come true?
No.
Stop it.
No one respects my opinion anyway.
See, that's not true because this is I was thinking about this off the air and I wasn't going to bring it to the air. Shame for you is that you're a Redskins fan.
Oh, okay, fair.
Because if he were a Giant or Jet fan, he knows his football and he'd be respected more. But what happens is because you're a Redskin fan,
and then you start talking
Redskins, it's like, oh, he's talking Redskins in New York.
You get eye rolls all across the city.
If you rooted for a New York team,
I think people
would appreciate this is your wheelhouse. This is football.
I know.
You're very good at it. You know it.
So you think I should switch teams to get more respect from the fans and leave my miserable team that stinks anyway?
I don't think anybody would respect you all of a sudden becoming
the Jet
or Giant.
It's too late. I can't do it.
Well, let's see if Pat Shurmur can win you back, Peter, with this quote.
Here we go. There's more.
Let's see. He was there. Of course, there's the Odell stuff. I'm sure Shurmur is so tired of it. Remember, Odell was a little bit critical of how the Giants handled his trade. Here's what Shurmur said about that.
When the trade was made, we felt like we went through it in a professional way. He was out of the country at the time when it happened, and we made efforts to get in touch with him. And I know Dave actually did speak to him, and I made efforts to get in touch with him both through phone and text, but he was out of the country. And so, but listen, I've said it all along. We're hopeful that he can go to Cleveland and help them win football games and play good football. And so, that's really the gist of it.
He gone.
Oh, there you have it. I bet, though, that he's probably so happy that Odell is out of here and he doesn't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
It makes his job easier. I mean, it may make your job a little harder from an offensive standpoint when there's a game when you realize, hey, our offensive line still stinks. Where's Odell for those little six-yard crosses?
They can't say it, and it puts Shurmur in a very difficult position to make it. Oh, he was out of the country, couldn't get in touch. I'm telling you.
Odell, by the way, people running, Odell didn't pay for the out-of-the-country phone service. He had no phone. He was just walking around by
himself. I'm telling you.
No chance.
All right. I talked to enough people.
Okay.
They are very happy he's gone. Mm-hmm. Very happy.
He gone.
And listen, I don't know if they're rooting for him to do well in Cleveland. I don't know why you would, because obviously if he does poorly, it makes it look like you did even better with the trade. But you want to be in the right place and say the right things or whatever. But there is nobody – I shouldn't say players because he was very popular among the players. But coach, management,
they believe
they did the right thing. And I think a lot of Giant fans probably do as well.
Yeah. A couple other random notes from around other training camps that are opening. I don't know if you saw, but Jalen Ramsey showed up to Jaguars camp in an armored bank truck with his own personal MC to introduce him.
And then that's a little over the top.
Yeah, it's extremely over the top, especially because – the guy has a bullhorn and he's screaming into what you would think would be a crowd of people. But then when Jalen Ramsey appears from out of the truck, it sounds like it's about six people kind of clapping their hands quietly.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to step out on a limb here. I think Jalen Ramsey's a bit of a me guy.
Just a little bit of a me guy.
Here's what. Yes, he absolutely is. There's no doubt about it. But on his behalf, I will say he wants a new contract. He is handling this contract dispute about as well as any person I've ever seen. He's showing up to camp and he's being like really lighthearted and funny. Like his quotes that he's given about wanting the new contract, he's like making jokes about it. He's not mad at anyone. He says he's not mad at the Jaguars. He's for a me guy who.
That's nice. That actually is cool.
Who like, you've seen this story before where me guys just kind of become malcontents and like ruin locker room chemistry. He's gone the other way with it. He wants a new deal, but he's gone about it the right way.
By the way, great, great tweet here from Mike Pizzino referring to Don's example that he gave to the Week 17.
Mm-hmm.
Don's the smartest person on earth, but that was the dumbest example in history. That
why is it a dumb example?
It was
the example.
You said,
it was so
you
dumb.
Said, you said, I'm just holding you to what you said.
But I was still
I would never root for somebody to lose their job, which is a bold-faced lie.
Stop
you
changing
would.
It. No, go back to the example. That's your opinion.
Right.
But I painted a scenario in which you would be rooting for him to lose his job.
No, I would only be rooting for my team to win.
Knowing he was going to lose his job.
But it's just like... If somebody said, I will never ever, I hate spinach, I'll never eat spinach, and then Don comes out with, well, if all other food on earth completely evaporates and all that's left in front of you is a can of spinach, you're not going to eat the spinach?
Then you'd have to reevaluate whether you should say never. I'm mostly taking this tact because I don't believe him when he says he would never root for somebody to lose their job.
I don't. I just feel bad.
No. I, and I'm sorry. That is
I've done it before.
That is always a talk show narrative.
Which?
Michael brings it up all the time. I never want to see anybody lose their job. Hey, everybody knows the game. 99.9% of every coach and manager that gets hired gets fired. It's part of the job. They know it. Okay. Nobody is on a soup line. Nobody's kids are going hungry. Okay. When you're a talk show host, I think it's perfectly okay when you believe somebody should lose their job to say, I think he should be fired.
Yeah.
I think it's so ridiculous that we dance around those things because, oh, he's got a family. Stop. These guys are well paid and they know the game.
No, you're right.
They know it.
You're right. I'm just saying in this case though.
And when you have a hot take, and that was a scorching hot take that Andrew and I both think is absolutely ridiculous based on the information that you gave.
Can't you just sometimes
you are rooting
feel,
to be right?
Sometimes you have feel. I don't feel it with Shermer. Right. It's not that he's a bad guy or even necessarily a bad football coach. I don't feel you, dog.
It's that's like different than what you I mean. Say.
It's very Randy on American Idol. I don't feel you, dog.
That's a different opinion than he had when he originally had the hot take.
What did I say? What was my original opinion?
How about just the way he talks at the press conference?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like he speaks with a lot of...
Come on, dog.
...conviction. Just say, I think he's gone.
Well, I already said that.
You said it.
I did.
Yeah.
It's in history now. It's in the ether.
Yep. Let's see, guys.
No. It's not in the ether. I'll tell you that. This is not going to be forgotten.
Okay.
That's true. Let's see. Guys, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better night of baseball than what we had last night. Obviously, we spoke at length about the Yankees and their win. But you know what? Let's hear it again. Here is the final call one more time.
Line drive to left. Hicks on the run. He dives, and he makes the play. He makes the play. Oh, my. Amazing. And the Yankees win the game.
Wow, such drama.
What a moment that was with Michael on the call.
You know what I thought about it is I can picture him saying that in Michael K. voice.
Yeah, the doubling up of he makes the play.
Yes.
Absolutely.
By the way, I definitely tapped into something real, though. You know it was a little hard for him to watch anyone do the call yesterday.
No, that game was epic. I mean, not even just the call of the Hicks play. Like, Hicks hits the home run with two outs in the ninth. Like, the whole company was down 8-2.
Didi's 5-for-5, 7 RBI.
Yeah. No, that was one of the most epic Yankee regular season games we've seen in a while.
It will probably be the most important thing that Michael misses during his time off. That was that moment.
Like, let's hope, because that would otherwise somebody's going to throw like a perfect game. I mean, where do you go to from having missed the 14-12?
So real quick, while he's gone, what's the worst case scenario for Michael of what he would miss?
Nothing.
No, just in terms of you being like, I can't believe I didn't call that.
No, because I think he's called everything. He's called a perfect game. He's called a no-hitter. I mean, I don't think there's anything he hasn't called. I don't know if he's ever called a triple play. I would think he has.
But I don't. If he missed that, he wouldn't.
It's not that big of a deal. So I can't imagine a four-home run game. Maybe he never called that. I think he's very comfortable where he is in his life.
What about Aaron Judge comes in and pitches during a game and then... I don't know. I'm trying to think.
That's probably...
Everything I was going to think of was negative, and I didn't want to say it.
It might be.
I really think she's right.
I'm miserable.
Also, yesterday you had four other games that went to extra innings, including a 13-inning game, a 15-inning game. You had Trey Turner, who hit for the cycle against Colorado.
Sure,
second time he's hit for the cycle against Colorado.
Did you know Trey Turner is a 7-year-old boy? He truly looks like a child.
He has boyish looks.
And the cycle is so stupid.
What? No, it's not. It's amazing.
Right. It's stupid.
But it's so it's incredible.
If I hit three home runs and a triple, it's a much better day, and it's nothing.
I
get a home run, a triple, a double, and a single. It's a cycle, and everybody's talking about
it. Great point. All right, I agree with you on that point, but that doesn't change that it's amazing.
Hitting the triple in general is
very hard. By the way, you also didn't mention incredible. What I did last night, I watched the Reds-Brewers game. Unbelievable. 14-6 Reds. Roark got the win.
So the Yankees and Twins were playing like the epic game of the year. And you were locked into Reds Brewers?
Suarez homered. Oh, tremendous.
I lost
game.
The
I was kidding.
I'm gonna hope you're just staring at a box score.
I'm staring at a box score.
I lost the living room to Nancy because she was watching the Giants. They also went 13 innings. Pablo Sandoval with a game winning home run.
So I watched
the Yankees on the computer. It's fine.
You're the talk show host who has to watch the game. You don't ever put your foot down and go, Nancy, I know you have your thing with the barely above 500 Giants. I got to watch the dominating Yankees for my job that brings home the bacon.
Did you heard the show today? You produced it. You produced it well. Do you believe that during the course of the 3+ hours we talked about the Yankees that I was lacking?
That wasn't about that. What is wrong with your logic today?
I wish Don watched the game.
Your logic is off today.
I don't
mean that you didn't follow the game. I mean about you manning up in your living room.
Because
turn off the damn
Giants. The living room is Nancy's domain. I have a man cave, but I didn't feel like getting up from the man cave.
So really, the living room
by myself watching the game. I was interested in the Giants as well, and I figured I can follow both games in the living room with my wife.
The living room is the woman cave, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's her she shed.
Stupid commercial. I can't do it.
It is a really stupid commercial. Why is he that the husband? Why is he so irritated about her she shed?
I can't.
Like, he's like, oh, I'll just get a she shed. And he's like, oh great. Well, why is he upset?
I gotta tell you, I didn't know why, but now that I'm hearing you say she shed, I feel as annoying as
it's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Deep Eddy Vodka was named after the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gathered for good times that never seemed to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and made with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
ESPN conducted a survey of 20 NBA coaches, executives, and scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you're in line with some of what they responded with. The best player in the NBA. Care to guess who they 12 of the 20 all said this player?
I think they probably still said LeBron.
No.
Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to say.
Yeah, they went with Kawhi. LeBron didn't make the list. 12 said Kawhi, 6 said Giannis, and 2 said James Harden.
Interesting.
Best move of the offseason?
Hold on.
All right.
Well, if they think Kawhi is the best player, then
I think Anthony Davis to L.A.
No, I think they're going to stay consistent and say Kawhi going to L.A.
Yeah, 10 said Kawhi and George to Clippers.
Oh, combo pack. Is that really one move? I mean, kind of.
Yeah. Then
it kind of was.
The worst move of the offseason. This one is kind of a trick question. Because it kind of like encompasses an entire.
The trade for Paul George still.
No. They just, 6 of the 20 grouped together the Knicks' entire offseason.
But that's not fair. Move. What, because Durant is not nice.
And that was tied with Ricky Rubio going to Phoenix.
See, that's
just ganging up.
I would
mean.
Just say answer the darn question.
Well,
that does
6
not
of them
qualify.
Were all thinking the same thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right.
Well, look, I'm just
the messenger. What move? The move was they wanted to get the free agents. The free agents didn't want them. What did they do wrong? What were they supposed to do?
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they think that the
kidnap
way the Knicks. No, not necessarily. Okay, you missed out on these guys, but maybe the way they reacted in signing like 12 kind of
that's
role players.
Though.
I don't know. I don't. I'm trying to get in their head.
Just they're wrong.
Who will be the Eastern Conference champion? Only 2 teams were said. 12 said.
12 said Milwaukee.
That's right. And 8 said
Philadelphia.
That's right. And for Western Conference champion, 16 said
Los Angeles.
Go on.
Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Lakers.
No, they said Clippers.
Wow. Yeah, they love
themselves. No one said the Lakers. 2 said the Nuggets. 1 said the Jazz. And 1 said Houston.
I just would like to say this. We are such a bunch of trendy nozzles. Don't get me wrong. Kawhi is incredible, and we now have evidence. He just did it with a team that is not as talented as his new team. Probably not. But come on, dude. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins. You just think LeBron's going to be like average this year?
Did it change? Because Vegas had the Lakers as the favorite to win it all. Did that change after Kawhi went to the Clippers?
Let's check.
I'm sure it did.
I'm sure it changed.
But you could just tell the whole theme of this is that they love themselves from Kawhi.
Absolutely.
He's so in just right put now. Up a graphic that the Lakers are still favored to win the title.
At plus
really?
Not according to these 20.
No, I think these people are.
And then last one, NBA champion. 13 of the 20 all said.
Wait, NBA champion?
Yeah. 13 said.
Clippers.
That's right. 2 said the Bucks. 2 said the Sixers. So there you go. While we're on the topic of the Clippers, they actually introduced Kawhi and Paul George earlier today. Steve Ballmer really did a nice job of keeping it together in the press conference.
Let's hear it. I have these notes, but I got to say I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
This feels like his Howard.
Ford,
this is his Howard Dean moment.
Now, it wasn't. Now, you start thinking about an introduction. If you didn't see the press conference, you're probably have a mental picture of like when the Heat introduced the big three, like a mob crowd, lights and everything. This almost looked like a town hall. Like it looked like it was a gymnasium. Like
yeah.
They didn't really put a lot
so
of effort behind
weird.
It. Right?
The event looked so weird. It was like a high school pep rally.
I think he's out of his mind and doesn't care. But when you're that over the top and you start clapping and you're still the only one clapping and then everyone else chimes in awkwardly, that you know that people aren't really into
what
you're doing.
Well, I couldn't get a sense of who was the audience, because usually those things are not filled with fans. It's usually a media event, well, and maybe like staff members of the team. But he's doing that, and he was yelling for people to get up out of their seats.
I can't imagine they have that many people covering the team. That was a mob.
Well, they do now. I mean, they've become one of the most high-profile teams in the league basically overnight.
Did you see that I'm looking at it, the only people that might have clapped were the people on the stage.
Let's compare, shall we?
Well, I'm telling you, if they don't win the title, it will be his Howard Dean moment.
We got to throw Maloney in there too. Get those three.
Oh,
we get Ballmer, that, and then Maloney.
Wow,
that's tremendous.
And that is ENN for tonight, which is brought to you by Deep Eddie Vodka. Deep Eddie Vodka is handcrafted in small batches in Austin, Texas. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and infused with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. So dive in with their delicious original vodka and their ruby red grapefruit or lemon vodka. Deep Eddie Distilling Company, Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
Tremendous job.
Don't tell me what to do.
Tremendous job. And if ENN didn't get the ratings to basically prop this show up, I would consider having Andrew do it full time. But and having you chime in the way that you
do. Well, Edwin just tweeted, no joke, A. Gundling needs to do ENN. Sorry, Rosenberg Radio, you're the radio goat.
Well, for every one of those, there will be 15 homeboy that kills save it. The other.
No, but here's
but I appreciate that very much.
Won't. Here's the good news. For the rest of the week, that's tomorrow and Friday, Andrew will be doing ENN because you're out.
That's right.
We've got Mike Greenberg filling in for you on Thursday. And who do I have on Friday?
Alan Hahn.
Alan Hahn.
So you'll be getting your... You'll be... The Screamers Club.
I love that. We're going to give you an opportunity not only to win Jets green and white practice scrimmage tickets, but also maybe a chance to win season tickets to the Jets.
Australia, by the way, has the Clippers at better odds than the Lakers. If you're betting in Australia, they're 420. Lakers are 550.
Okay.
So all this and more on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55.
The show's popping.
On 98.7 ESPN and on the Listen tab of the ESPN app.